broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites.
Forgotten Favorites.
On the Worldwide Legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song, see what's currently playing, view the weekly schedule in your local time zone, and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, good evening from a very cool Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm Bill Sparks. I'm going to turn it over to Chris because we're going to be very, very busy tonight.
That's right. Well, Jeff always says it's a very busy podcast. He says it every week, but we really mean it this time. We got a lot going on here. First of all, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody, and happy Selection Sunday. And that's, of course, the big thing that we're going to be dealing with. We're going to start with NCAA basketball. Then we're going to go to football. There was a lot of things became official in the NFL this week and a couple other things that came up that hadn't been noted before. Then we're going to do a quick baseball thing because they did implement some rules changes for this year and decided what they're going to do about stuff for next year. We're going to do the NBA, the NHL. We'll try to sneak in some boxing and whatever else. But Sean, why don't you tell everybody what's going on with the numbers here?
All right. First of all, want to say we also have our good buddy Ringside Robert, who has joined us, of course, from the Ringside Reporter podcast, but they did it early, which you can download ringsidereporter.com or on all your podcast outlets, all your podcatchers everywhere else, or at 773-572-7781. Also, don't forget Shooting the Bleep with Sean. You can still hear the end of my King Kong Bundy tribute over there at 773-572-7867. If you want to leave us a comment, if you're listening on the podcast, or even if you listen live and you think about it later in the week, 773-572-7715. When you hear the recording of the show, hit the pound key, and that'll get you there. But if you're listening to the show, just hang up your phone and call back in later on the same phone, and it'll leave off from wherever you were listening. So that's any of those 773 numbers. If you can't listen to the whole show at once, hang up, call back in. So we do have a busy show. Like I said, happy St. Patrick's Day. Of course, I guess we're part Irish because my name is Sean, and Chris is in Massachusetts, heavily
I'm all Irish, so I'm good.
Yeah, you
good
got Irish go. There, so hey, we got a little bit of Irish in us today.
We got Perry O'Lester in Iowa there.
And Ringside O'Robert.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. All right,
there we go.
For our appetizer for the NCAA, Perry is going to read each region uninterrupted, and then we'll talk about each region. That's how we're going to do that. But first, we have to do the scores for the last qualifiers that got into the field today, and there's only six of those, so that won't take long. But we'll get those done, and then we'll move on. These were six conference championship games on this Sunday. And first of all, in the Ivy League, Yale beat Harvard 97-85. It was close at halftime, and then and Harvard got a quick lead early in the second half, but Yale really blitzed them, and that was it. So that was it for Harvard's season. In the Atlantic 10, St. Louis beat St. Bonaventure 55-53. They came from behind to do that, and they got themselves into the tournament, as you'll hear. The SEC champion this year is Auburn. I don't know when the last time they won a basketball championship was.
1985.
1985. Yep. I knew it was a long time ago. Oh, that would have been back Chuck Person era.
Yep.
Auburn
right
over Tennessee. That's right. Auburn over Tennessee, 84-64. They blew them out. In the Sun Belt Conference, Georgia State beat Texas Arlington, 73-64. In the AAC, Cincinnati over Houston, 69-57. And in the Big Ten, Michigan State over Michigan in a good ball game, 65-60. And so that's basically the appetizer for our main event, which is Perry now reading the brackets. And again, we'll comment on the regions after he finishes each region.
Well, we'll do it. We'll tell you like they usually do at the top of the show. Your four number ones: Duke, North Carolina, Gonzaga, and Virginia. Those are your number one seeds. So in case you were curious about that. Now let's start in the East. This region feeds Washington, D.C. Columbia, South Carolina will be these games on Friday. One seed is Duke. They will play either NC Central or North Dakota State. 8 VCU plays the ninth seeded University of Central Florida. San Jose on Friday. 5 Mississippi State, 12 Liberty. 4 Virginia Tech will play the 12, and that is...
Play 13.
St. Louis. 4 plays 13. 4 plays 13.
Yeah, 4 Virginia Tech is 13 St. Louis.
Right.
Jacksonville, these games are on Thursday. 6 Maryland will play the winner of Belmont and Temple. That game will be on Tuesday night in Dayton. 3 LSU, 14 is Yale. These games are in Des Moines, Iowa on Thursday.
Right down the street from your house.
Right, yes, right up the street, actually. 7th seed is Louisville. 10th seed is Minnesota. 2 Michigan State and 15 is Bradley. That is your East Regional. What do you guys think about that one?
Well, it's interesting. I'm thinking because if you figure the logic, Duke is the number one seed overall. And like you're talking about, generally that would mean that Michigan State would be the lowest. And they had Michigan State that low of a number two seed, you know. But, I mean, a Duke-Michigan State final looks pretty good. And I'll tell you, the play-in game, Belmont-Temple looks really intriguing as a play-in game because Belmont, they deserve to be there. They've made some noise, and it's interesting. They have one of the 11 seed play-in games and one of the 16 seed play-in games going to the same region. Especially that, you know, that's kind of interesting. And let me tell you, usually these are basically the last two teams in on these 11 seeds.
The 11 seeds are your last four teams in.
Well, yeah, usually.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, and we were looking at this Des Moines region because we were saying how Minnesota really benefited here. They don't have to go very far, and they're what, a 7? What are they, a 10 seed?
They're a 10 seed.
They're going to have a home court advantage over Louisville, which is kind of, Louisville's probably not very happy about that. And then you got Michigan State and Bradley going in, and that's two Midwest teams, and Bradley's not that far away either. So that's a good spot for them.
And Des Moines pretty familiar with Bradley because of you and I not being very far in Drake, so they're definitely familiar. And that's that. As we get on later, we'll read when Perry reads a region, we'll have another region that's kind of like that, where you'll have a home team that's not too far from where they're playing. So, you know, in another region.
What did you think of that thing with Mississippi State and Liberty? This guy comes out right away and says Liberty's going to beat Mississippi State. What about that, Perry?
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll have to find out. But
okay.
I think if you just go by the seeding, though, and I don't have anything to back this up because the NIT brackets have not come out. A lot of people were hoping that Drake would make the NIT. If you go by the Bradley seed, I think their chances are pretty slim of making the NIT. Loyola has to go because they won the league, but I think Drake's chances are pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as we get later on some of the teams that were left out.
Right.
The big teams that were left out.
Okay.
Yeah, we get
so the number two seed is in the south, I guess, right?
Yes, yep. The two is in the south. That feeds Louisville, Kentucky, is where these games will wind up for the Sweet 16. Columbia, South Carolina on Friday. 1 Virginia, 16 Gardner-Webb. 8 Ole Miss, 9 Oklahoma. That should be a good game.
Yeah.
Yep.
San Jose on Friday. 5 Wisconsin, 12 Oregon. 4 Kansas State, 13 is UC Irvine. Hartford, Connecticut on Thursday. 6 Villanova, the 11th seed is St. Mary's. 3 Purdue, the 11th seed is Old Dominion.
I mean, 3
Columbus,
Ohio.
3 in Purdue and 14
3 is
Purdue,
Old Dominion. 14 is Old Dominion, yes.
Yeah.
Columbus, Ohio on Friday. 7 Cincinnati, 10 Iowa. 2 Tennessee and 15 Colgate. We do have someone in the background who really does need to mute.
Yep. Star 6 mutes you.
Okay.
And, so that is that region.
Yeah. And well, again, Villanova got a good break. They're only going to Hartford. That's not, and having to play poor St. Mary's has to come all the way across. They're the higher seed, but still, that's a good trip for a 7 seed.
And that's right away just what I was talking about. Speaking of a lower seed, it gets a good deal, especially a lower seed that wouldn't have even been in the tournament without winning their tournament. Oregon, I mean, not too – it's kind of a distance to San Jose, but not too far. I mean, compared to Wisconsin, the higher seed, so Oregon gets a bit of a break there. I mean, I like the Iowa-Cincinnati matchup. I like the Ole Miss-Oklahoma. Those are some good matchups.
Yeah. They also got Cal Irvine's going to be in there too from, you know, in San Jose.
And the other team, I don't know if you guys listened to that game or watched the game last night. That Cal Irvine team can score. So somebody, you're going to have to really put the brakes on them if you want to beat them because they are a high scoring team.
How is Kansas State offensively? Can they match that?
Well, we'll get to that in
We'll have to see because we don't know. Dean Wade, one of their better players, missed the Big 12 tournament, and they have not announced.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons when you look at some of these things, and we're saying how it's strange, you know, put Villanova and Hartford, and you put these West Coast teams, you know, the thing is, they really are also trying to get butts in the seats because what they don't want is this like atmosphere of almost a closed gym feel to it when nobody cares about the game, and you know they want a little bit of atmosphere. So that's why they're doing it. But sometimes it's just funny. I'm sure, as they say, Louisville has got to be unhappy about their situation. I'm sure that's all they're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it might, but they'll talk about it. I'm sure, but they knew they were probably going to have to travel because they can't go in the South. Well, they could play one of the first two rounds somewhere else, but they can't. You know, they're a 7 seed, so they generally don't get to pick where they go, unfortunately.
And the other thing, too, Louisville's going to be playing Richard Pitino. That's going to add a little fire to the thing, too. Yeah. Oh, okay, I guess that's the South. We can go to the Midwest now.
Let's go to the Midwest. These games feed into Kansas City. Columbus, Ohio games on Friday. 1 North Carolina, 16 is Iona. 8 Utah State, 9 is Washington. Salt Lake City, these games are on Thursday. 5 Auburn, 12 is New Mexico State. 4 is Kansas, and 13 is Northeastern. Tulsa, these games are on Friday. 6 Iowa State, 11 is Ohio State. 3 is Houston, 14 is Georgia State. Jacksonville, these games are on Thursday. 7 is Wofford, 10 Seton Hall. 2 Kentucky, and 15 is Abilene Christian. One thing that I heard a lot of the commentators saying as they were doing the pairings is that the Wofford Seton Hall should give Seton Hall a good matchup.
Yep.
Well, remember, Wofford's been ranked. And I mean, I think they'll give them a matchup. And they always talk about this, and they were talking about this on Fox Sports Radio. I was listening to some of their coverage of it. You have that one region that's the TV region because when in Kansas City, this will be one of the Friday Sunday regions the second week. You got 3 blue bloods: North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas in the same region. So that is they're definitely looking a little bit at the. They always have that the made for TV region. I think that one is. Definitely it. Ohio State could be an interesting matchup.
That's what I was going to ask you, Perry, as a Big Ten Seth fan Davis. And a Big 12 fan, of course an Iowa State fan to remember that, but what do you think of that game?
That should be a good game. Now, Seth Davis thinks, because I was watching on CBS, Seth Davis was saying that he thinks Iowa State could crash a lot of brackets.
Yeah,
I think they could. I agree with him. After seeing what they did to Kansas and what they've done, I mean, they were the first non-top 4 seed to win the Big 12 tournament.
They won the game, what was it yesterday, Sean, by about 12 points. The game was not that close.
No, it was never that close at all. Kansas just snuck back in at the end because I think they just kind of said, hey, you know, we got this. And, Kansas is not as good as
And what should been. Really impress you with Iowa State is their big guys in the first half got into foul trouble. I don't remember the last time George Condit has played any significant minutes.
Yeah.
and he played well. I mean, give him credit. He played well yesterday. But I don't remember the last time he's played any sort of significant minutes at all.
No, not at all. No, but
these games here will feed the West.
Oh,
in Anaheim.
Okay.
Salt Lake City. This is on Thursday. Gonzaga is the number one, and they will play either Prairie View A&M or Fairleigh Dickinson, whoever wins the game on Tuesday in Dayton. Oh. 8, Syracuse. 9, Baylor. Hartford, Connecticut on Thursday. 5, Marquette. 12, Murray State. 4, Florida State. 13 is Vermont. Tulsa on Friday. 6 is Buffalo. And then Arizona State and St. John's will play on Wednesday in Dayton to see who will play Buffalo in that game. 3 is Texas Tech. 14, Northern Kentucky. And then the final is on Thursday in Des Moines. 7 is Nevada. 10 is Florida. 2, Michigan. 15, Montana. Though that 7-10 game should also be good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's some really good ones. First of all, I want to remind you all, if you want to call in and comment on 646-876-9923 when you get in here, 287-723-4600, pound twice, and star 9 raises your hand to ask a question, star 6 mutes you and unmutes you. So, you know, if you got any thoughts, check in. Robert's here, too.
I wanted to wait till you guys are finished before I threw any comments. And being a casual college basketball fan, somebody's got tones there.
Go ahead.
I think the Nevada game is going to be very tough because Eric Musselman is a former NBA coach, and he's developed a real good program there. So watch out for the Wolfpack.
The big games to watch in this one, Marquette, Murray State, Nevada, Florida, I think are two really good ones. Well, and it's interesting that just like the East, this one has both the play-in games, the 11-seed play-in game and the 16-seed play-in game. And, you know, I mean, this one's a really, really good region. I think, again, you know, Gonzaga, I mean, they kind of, you know, they definitely, you know, they didn't care about it. They knew they were in. They knew they were number one seed, so... One is St. Mary. Hey, they wanted another conference mate to get in, I guess. But, and I'll tell you, what's interesting going through all this, the teams that were left out are on the bubble. They talked about Indiana was a bubble team, Texas, TCU was a bubble team. Those
North
were
Carolina, Greensboro.
Ones.
Yeah.
North Carolina
State UNC and Greensboro. Yeah, UNC Greensboro was a bubble team.
Yeah, they were a bubble team. Lipscomb was another one that was kind of a bubble team. But NC State and Clemson both left out.
Yep.
NC State is, yes, they beat Clemson in what people thought was a play-in game the other day. You do have to play somebody in your non-conference.
Well, and and remember, they had that 24-point game back in December, and I think some of these might have got in, but you had St. Mary's won their tournament, St. Louis won their tournament, and Oregon, those are three big ones that won because Utah State was getting in anyway. I mean, if San Diego State had beat Utah State, that would have messed, you know, that would have probably thrown even more off. But Texas and TCU didn't deserve to be in. Honestly, as a Texas fan, no, they didn't deserve it. The 500 record, no.
And I'm also shocked that Arizona State was able to get in because I thought Utah was a better team.
Yeah, well, Oregon beat Arizona State in that game, and then they went on beat Washington. So, I mean, Oregon, I don't know. Yeah, the Pac-12, they managed to get three. Of course, the SEC or the ACC, the SEC, Big Ten all got 7. Was the Big 12 got 6. Big East got 4. And then Pac-12 got 3. And then you had a bunch with 2. The Ohio Valley, West Coast, the Atlantic 10. The America got 4. Yeah, so they got their 4 teams that were supposed to get in. Houston, Cincinnati, Temple, Central Florida. They got their 4. So, yeah, the A-10 got 2. The A-10's usually gotten 3 or 4. They had a down year, but the Ohio Valley, that's some conferences to watch. But I don't know. Do we have any callers out there that want to comment?
We do. Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, do you guys anticipate, I think it was last year, do you anticipate any 16 seeds beating any 1 seed?
No, I don't.
Not this year. No, because looking at the number 1 seeds, Virginia, they were embarrassed last year. I think they're coming out. They're doing and Carolina and Duke, Gonzaga, I don't think.
No.
Nobody's
going
to stop.
That's the thing that happens. Like, if it can't, you know, it's like anything else in the world. If it can't happen, it will happen. But it's going to happen about 1-2% of the time. So that's, I think we're done with that for a while.
Yeah, they went to 16 teams in the 80. 80- 586 season and 16 seeds. That's the first time it happened since March of 86. So
that's right. So and also to just to finish up, we have a negative. We had a couple of firings, Perry.
Yes, we have had some coaching firings. Billy Kennedy is out at Texas A&M. Ernie Kent is out at Washington State. And Mike Dunleavy Sr., I forget where he was coaching, but he was also let go this week.
Tulane.
Tulane.
Yeah. So he was let go.
And there is a rumor that Buzz Williams, and this is something's going to dog Virginia Tech a little bit anyway, whether it's true or not, these things do. Buzz Williams of Virginia Tech is rumored to be taking that Texas A&M job. So we don't know if that's true or not.
I suppose this is a good time as any to mention it. Will Wade did not coach in the SEC tournament. He is still on suspension, and I would kind of be surprised, barring something really strange, I would be surprised if he coached again.
Right.
Yeah. I would definitely be surprised. Any other calls real quick out there before we jump on?
We do not have any more right now, but you guys, once we go through things, you can still talk about this as we come back to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have a bunch of football notes. Wait a minute.
Jamal it just raised his hand. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Good.
Got a couple things here. First of all, what seed did Bradley get and who are they playing?
Bradley got a 15 seed and they are playing Michigan State. And they're playing in Des Moines on Thursday.
Okay, so there will be the sacrificial lamb for Michigan State.
Right, that's the theory.
Okay, with that being said, I was thinking about who I would pick for the Final Four, and this is what I've come up with. I like Tennessee, Iowa State, along with Gonzaga, and Duke, with the winner being Gonzaga.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason I like Iowa State is I took a look at that Midwest region whereby you have three blue bloods, Kentucky and Kansas and Carolina. Yes, Carolina's the number one seed. I think that the blue bloods are going to devour each other. Iowa State's going to just bust the middle and win that, come out of that region.
Well, it was interesting, Jamal, the other day, Holly Rowe, who is the sideline reporter usually for the Big 12 games on ESPN, was filling in on SiriusXM's college channel. And she said it really isn't close in her mind, but she said Iowa State, they didn't always show up, but they had the most talent in the Big 12.
Yes, and they beat Kansas, and they've beaten Kansas twice this year, I believe.
Yeah, they did.
They beat them twice. Two of their three meetings, they beat them, yeah.
Okay, well, going along with this basketball stuff, and the one that was going with all the headlines right next to it was the NFL. It's a crazy week. At least they don't do it the next week when the games are actually going on. But the NFL had a lot of moves and a lot of things were confirmed. The NFL's season got our actual official movement thing was on Wednesday, started on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Before we get going, since he was not here last week to comment, should we let Robert, as our Raider fan, to comment on his Antonio Brown situation?
Well, I figured I'd let Chris go through what he wanted to go through.
Well, why don't you do it now, because it happened before these did officially.
Yeah,
as a Raider fan, I'm thoroughly disgusted we have Antonio Brown. And what really took me off about the whole thing is we picked up his existing contract from Pittsburgh, and then what do? We give him a $20 million raise. But yet we couldn't pay Khalil Mack.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's one move I'll never get over. The one guy on your team that deserves to be paid, you had to ship off to Chicago, and yet you pick up a malcontent from Pittsburgh. So,
Jamal says thank you. Jamal says thank you.
Right. That's
right. But, he's going to say thank you all the way to Canton, Ohio, because that's where Khalil Mack is going to wind up.
All right. Yeah. Well, some people who probably won't end up in Canton but did move this week. We had Amendola, and I can't think of his first name. That's terrible.
Danny
went to Detroit, so reuniting there with the Lions coach who was here with the Patriots. Danny Amendola, he's trying to change the culture there and bring in some former people that he trusts and see what he can do with getting the Lions into the playoffs. We have Malik Jackson, who's a defensive lineman, went from Jacksonville to Philadelphia, so that was a good move for the Eagles. Trent Brown, offensive lineman. Now, there's something for the Raiders. He went from the Patriots to the Raiders. He's a good player with the Patriots. So that's something they did
He's been in the Bay Area before because he was originally drafted by the 49ers and played for San Francisco for several years before he went to New England. So
okay. Jesse James, not the bank robber, but the tight end, went to the Detroit Lions from Pittsburgh. We have Nick Foles finally. This is the Nick Foles show. We mention him every week. Maybe we won't next week because he's already now in Jacksonville. Maybe nothing will happen to cause us to mention him, but I think we've mentioned him every week to the Super Bowl. Okay, we have Terrell Suggs, went to Arizona. He's a linebacker, a good player. He came from the Ravens. We had Cole Beasley, wide receiver of the Cowboys, to Buffalo. That means that Josh Allen actually has somebody to throw to, finally. He had nobody last year at all. Not that Cole Beasley's a top level guy, but at least he's something. Okay, we had Odell Beckham, a big trade, went to the Browns from the Giants. And the first round pick of the Browns. And also Jabril Peppers comes back to the Giants, defensive back. And I forget what the other round of there was another draft choice involved, maybe a third. I don't remember.
It was a third, yeah.
Yeah. Latavius Murray, the former Raider, went to New Orleans as a running back. We have
he was with Minnesota last year, and that would be a good move for him. He'll do well in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, he's going to be the bad. You know, of course, they got Kamara there, so he'll be sort of the second guy, but that's fine. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. Well, okay. I mean, that's the bright lights and all that good stuff for Le'Veon, but, you know, we'll see. And the Jets have a good young quarterback, but they hired Gacy from the Dolphins. So what was that about? I still don't understand that hiring as a coach, but, you know, we'll see what the Jets can pull together. Mark Ingram went to the Ravens. Again, we had New Orleans picking up Murray, so Mark Ingram got out of town and headed to the Ravens, again, with a young quarterback. And, you know, they've got the other running back that they were running near the end of the year who did very well, whose name is escaping me right now. But anyway, the Ravens are rebuilding a bit because they also got Earl Thomas, a safety from Seattle.
Seattle.
He's a good player. Yeah.
Very, very good player.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. And there was rumors about him going to Dallas, but Baltimore picked him up. And like I said, I think Baltimore and Cleveland really solidified themselves. Cleveland went from being 30-1 to make the Super Bowls a 14-1. The only teams ahead of Cleveland were the four teams in the conference championship last year. So Cleveland.
Yeah, well, there's a lot ahead. You know, it's going to be a rookie coach, and he's going to have to deal with a lot of potential head cases too. So
absolutely,
and
you've also got
that. Go ahead.
Yep, Kareem Hunt. That's actually right. You're about to say that Kareem Hunt is out for 8 games, suspended. Apparently, that was a cooperative thing between the Players Association, Kareem Hunt, and the NFL. They had to kind of figure out, I mean, they kind of think, I think, that Ray Rice, with similar situation to Ray Rice, that maybe Goodell got carried away on that one. So they kind of got it down to like half a season for Kareem Hunt. So he won't be around right away for the Browns. And in the meantime, his Chiefs teammate, former teammate Tariq Hill, may have an Adrian Peterson situation. He's accused of battery on a juvenile, and they think it might be his son. That's not been figured out or announced yet, but you know,
I've heard
a couple of incidents.
I've pretty much heard that, like, his arm was broken.
And the kid's only 3 years old. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So that doesn't look good for Tariq Hill. Then so that's kind of the football news that we have.
And Chris, remember the Dolphins today? They signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to a 2-year deal.
Okay.
Jacksonville did release Blake Bortles, and did I not hear correctly that he also is with the Dolphins now?
Yeah, he did go to the Dolphins. Were about to, I don't know if they've officially signed him yet, but he was there talking.
So it's going to be Blake Bortles and Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Dolphins.
I was just going to say Miami, up until Perry just said that, Miami did not have any quarterbacks because Ryan Tannehill got traded from the Dolphins to the Titans.
I wonder if that's a sign, too, that the Titans are running out of patience with Mariota a little bit.
He can't stay on the field, but neither can Tannehill. So
right.
I don't know what you're getting out of that deal.
And
exactly,
also, Tyrod Taylor is now going to be the new backup for Phillip Rivers. He went to L.A.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Here's another one for you guys.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
L.A. Chargers. Yeah. What, Bill?
Here's another one for you. Johnny Manziel is back.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
he's in the AAF. Yep.
Yeah, here's the story on that one. San Antonio had his rights because of the region. They decided they didn't want him, the San Antonio team, so Memphis picked him up. So something went on in Canada. Something went on in Canada up there with Johnny, because when the team, and where he went to high school is 60 miles west of San Antonio in Kerrville, Texas. So he was definitely the hometown kid, and they passed on it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, I guess, our football. That's a pretty good amount. Things will probably be a little quieter this coming week, because that first week is always crazy. But
it'll be quiet until draft time. Basically, draft time. It'll be next month about this time. We'll start talking about the draft.
Yep.
Okay. Now we have a little baseball, not too much this week. There have been a couple of rules changes that will affect this year. I know we keep talking about rules changes every year, but that never occur. But these will. In baseball, there's going to be one trading deadline, which will be July 31st, and there will not be a waiver trading thing in August like we used to have.
You can still claim people off of waivers in August, but you can't make any more trades.
Right. So that'll be it. And I assume that still, if you pick up somebody in August, they can be on your postseason roster, right?
Correct.
Yeah, as long as they're on the roster by August 31st.
Right.
But now what you won't be seeing is a lot of the teams just placing these guys on waivers to see if they could trade them. You won't be seeing any more of that.
Yeah, the Manny Ramirez, they used to put him on waivers every few weeks just to see what happened, and nothing ever seemed to happen. They finally got rid of him, but okay. There's a $1 million prize for the Home Run Derby, I think. I think people may actually participate in the Home Run Derby with a $1 million prize out there. However, it often, not always, but often ruins the rest of your season. So that's something to hold your breath about.
There are more people that participate in the Home Run Derby than there are in the slam dunk contest now. So you get a few more.
That's true. But I remember Adrian Gonzalez did it here, and he had a great first half in 2011, and in the second half, he disappeared. So it's a difficult situation. And there will be an election day for the All-Star game. I guess it's like the last three in on each team or something like that. You're going to be able to vote on one day, via the ways everybody votes nowadays online, et cetera. So that'll be just one day. And I don't know if we'll have pundits and people projecting or anything, but we're going to have an election day anyway. For 2020, a couple more rules changes are coming in. It's going to be 26 players on the roster, and they're going to have the three batters for the pitcher deal is going to come in 2020. So
in September, your rosters only go to 28, not 40.
Starting in 2020.
And apparently, according to what Jim Bowden was saying this morning, there is going to be a number of pitchers that you can have. So they haven't set
the maximum
yet,
from
but
what
there
I
will
hear,
be
Perry,
a number, but that hasn't it hasn't been set yet.
From what I hear, Perry, the maximum number is going to be 13 pitchers.
Right, okay. but that's not official.
Right.
And of course, it should still vary some in the American. This will be within the team's discretion, but the National League is going to still need more pitchers until the DH is gone.
It's going to be an arbitrary number, Chris. Bill,
right, what I mean, it'll be an arbitrary number. What I'm saying, 13 is a pretty high number, so that's fine. But I'm just saying the National League will probably max out more than the American League will.
Right,
you know.
You were trying to come in, Bill. Go ahead.
Just quickly, explain the three batters for the pitcher. Explain that.
Basically, how it's going to work is if you bring in a pitcher out of the bullpen, either one of two things has to happen. Either he has to face three batters or the end of the inning. So you can't bring in a guy and he's going to get one guy out and then you go to someone else. He's going to face either three guys. The only way he faces one batter is if he gets the last guy out in the inning. Then you can make a change.
Yeah.
So that means it's really going to favor the offenses. And what you're going to see, yes, you'll see maybe faster games, but you may see blowouts. You get a guy in there sometimes and you say, oh, my God, he hasn't got it today. And you know, not only does he not retire as batter, but you know he looks terrible. You won't be able to get him out of there. And it's going to make, for sometimes some guy in the fifth inning will come in and the game will blow out of proportion because, he just doesn't have it.
What they think this is going to do is get rid of the specialists. You know, like the Randy Choate is the name that kept coming up. It's going to – those guys that only come in for one hitter, they're not going to – they're probably not going to be around.
And it also will affect probably that opener thing that they pulled a couple of times in the postseason. Not so much the bullpen by committee. The starter, the thing that Tampa Bay did, that can still happen because those guys pitch two or three innings. That's fine. That'll go on. But the ones where you bring in a guy just to face the leadoff hitter and, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, and one more thing. The mound visits are going to be dropped from 6 to 5.
Correct.
That's good. Yeah. That did help the game. And also, but although after the ninth inning, I think there's unlimited visits, isn't there, Robert?
No, you get one per inning. If you have three left, then you would have in the 10th, you'd have four. If you don't use any, then you go to five, and so on.
Right.
Right. But I mean, if you're out, you're out for the game. Is that true?
You're out until you go to extra innings.
Yeah, until you go to
extra innings. But then you get one per inning for extra innings.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, that's good. I didn't mind that at all. I think that change was a good change last year. You know, I'm not all for keeping it as slow as molasses, but some of the things they suggest get pretty silly. And these are okay. The three pitchers thing, it kind of bothers me, but that's just me.
And by the way, there is a little bit of a disagreement, Chris, in Cubs camp. I'll tell you about that. And then we have a couple signings yesterday. In Cubs camp, Theo Epstein loves the fact that eventually we're going to have entirely DH in the both leagues. Joe Madden says he thinks we should have no DH anywhere. And I personally agree with him, but that's not going to happen. It's going to be DH in both leagues. We know that. Now, the signings yesterday, the Indians have signed apparently Hanley Ramirez and Carlos Gonzalez to minor league contracts because apparently they have a very thin outfield for Gonzalez, so they have signed him, and they've apparently had Hanley a little bit longer, and if you believe what you hear, Hanley does not look good at all.
No, well, he didn't look good the last couple of years here, that's for sure, so not surprised. Okay, so I guess we'll go to the NBA, and we'll run down our standings and do the scores and tell you about the playoff pairings as of right now. It's funny. Yeah, the NBA and the NHL kind of do take a backseat for a couple of weeks when the NCAA really steps front and center. And, you get back tomorrow, everybody say, oh, there were some NBA games over the weekend. What the heck happened? So we'll try to tell you a little bit about it. Okay, in the East, Milwaukee is on top. This is going into today's action on March 17th. Milwaukee with 52-17. Toronto, number two, at 49-20. Philadelphia, 44-25, and they're in third place, and they solidified that today because they beat Milwaukee, as you'll hear in a minute. Indiana is 44-26, number four. The Celtics are 43-27 in the fifth spot. Detroit, 35-33 in number six. Number seven is Brooklyn at 36-35. The eighth team in the last playoff qualifier right now, these teams are on the bubble. No, that's the wrong euphemism, I guess. Miami is at 32-36. They're number eight. Then just outside the playoffs at the moment, at 32-38 is Orlando and nine. Charlotte, 31-37. So obviously just a game, again, both of them a game behind Miami, 31-37. Washington, 30-40. So they're a little bit back, but they've got a little bit of a chance. Then you drop to the ones that won't be in there. Atlanta, 24-46. Chicago, 19-51. Cleveland, 17-53. And the Knicks are 13-56. And then looking at the potential playoff pairings in the East, Milwaukee would be number one. They would host Miami. Indiana would be the number four team hosting the Celtics. Mostly it's been Philadelphia and the Celtics lined up, but Indiana and the Celtics at this point. Number two, Toronto to host Brooklyn. And the number three seed would be Philadelphia hosting Detroit. In the West, we have Golden State. And your playoff teams are set in the West. We'll just tell you that. Golden State is number one at 47-21. Denver right behind them at 46-22, so that's up for grabs, that top spot. Houston, it's a big battle for third, as there is in the East, in the West. Houston at 43-26, Portland at 42-27, a game behind them, and Oklahoma City at number five, 42-28, so they're all within a game and a half there for the third spot. San Antonio actually right behind that at 41-29, so they're not really out of it either. Then you go down to Utah at 40-29, so really they're all kind of lined up there. And the Clippers are at 40-30. So really, from 3 to 8, it's pretty close. But we'll see how that goes. But that's who's getting in. So because the rest of the teams will not be in. You know, I told you the Clippers at 40-30. That means Sacramento is next at 33-35. They're 6 games behind with like 12 to 14 games to go. So they're not making it. Sacramento, and that's good news for the Celtics, I guess. Other than number one choice, the Celtics can have whatever pick the Kings get in the lottery, or the Celtics will draw, or however that works, whoever shows up. But it's the Celtics pick, unless it's number one, as I understand it. That's all that's protected. Sacramento at 33-35. Minnesota, 32-37, number 10. Number 11, we have the Lakers. LeBron is continuing to pout at 31-38. New Orleans with Ricky Davis pouting at 30-42. Not happy
Anthony
locker
Davis.
Room. Anthony Davis, yeah. Ricky's another guy. I forgot. Yeah, an older guy. Okay, Dallas.
He's an ex-Hawkeye, Chris.
Oh, yeah. How could I Rick forget that? Dallas at 28-41. Memphis at 28-42. And Phoenix is way out of it at 17-54. So in the West, what we have, Golden State number one playing the Clippers at number 8. Number 4 would be Portland playing Oklahoma City. Number 2, Denver would face Utah. And Houston would play San Antonio right now. So, but that's all subject to change. That 3 through 8, they're all lined up, tail to stern there and head to tail, whatever you want to say. So there could be some flip-flops going on there. But we'll see. Yeah. Sometimes, you look at that and it just doesn't seem to change a whole lot. But we'll see. Okay, so for scores today, we had the Knicks beating the happy Lakers 124-123. I guess it was a good game. Probably nobody paid any attention to it, but there you go.
Dozens of people watched it.
Yeah, I bet. Miami beat Charlotte. The Knicks sell out. There's corporate tickets. People are in the seat. Whether they care about it, they're there. And, of course, LeBron was supposed to play. Whether he actually played, I don't know.
He did play, Chris. In fact, he took the last shot of the game. And
it got blocked.
Someone for the Knicks blocked his shot to win. He was trying to win the game. So he did play.
Well, good for LeBron. Nice to see him show up on this early Sunday. That's an early time for him to get up now, being on L.A. time. Yeah. Miami over Charlotte. 93-75, and of course that's a big game down there. We're fighting for those playoff spots, so that was a big win for the Heat and not a good loss for the Charlotte Hornets. Philadelphia over Milwaukee, 130-125. This must have been a heck of a game. And
it was, Chris, because the Greek Freak had a career high 52 points, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, well, and that was in Milwaukee too.
And they barely had enough time for the ABC World News tonight on this coast. It was a short news because of that game. So, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I hope nothing much happened in the world. Okay.
No.
Detroit. Good. Detroit over Toronto, 110-107. Then for the games in progress, 6 o'clock, Atlanta started at Orlando and Chicago at Sacramento. 9 o'clock will be Minnesota at Houston and Brooklyn at the Clippers. So any other NBA notes anybody has?
The only thing you should cover, Chris, is we had an incident in Utah on Monday where a fan was attacking Russell Westbrook, and he got his privileges taken away for life in the arena. And, of course, Westbrook got fined for it. But, look, I don't blame the player. He had a right to defend himself. And there's been articles because of this. There's been articles all week in various newspapers about how fans should behave at games and whatnot. Well, so,
and
I think what they were saying, Robert, and the reason he got fined was not necessarily that he did anything wrong, but there is security in the arena, and he should have just called security over, and the fan would have been dealt with immediately.
Right.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, if somebody is throwing racial stuff at you and insulting your family and doing all that, it's pretty hard to maintain. So, I think the fan – and I don't think anybody's really criticizing Russell Westbrook very much.
No.
But
in the NBA, if you have the right kind of seat, you're right behind the bench, and that's where this guy was. And
yeah.
So even if the player wanted to, you really couldn't get away from what was going on. So.
Yeah,
well,
He's been trying to justify what he did and all this other stuff, but no one's buying it.
No one is buying it, and there is no call for that. I mean,
right.
Right, no. We should be past any sort of race issues in the country, to be truthful with you.
No, we should. It would be nice. Okay, moving to the NHL.
We have a
hockey guy. So put on your skates, Robert, and get ready. Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. Got the NHL standings for everybody. We have the Atlantic Division. We have Tampa Bay, far and away the best team in the league in the regular season this year at 114 points. The Bruins at 95. Toronto, 91. Montreal, 81, Florida, 76, Buffalo, 69, Detroit, 60, and of course, this is going into today's action, by the way, Detroit, 60, Ottawa, 56, excuse me, in the Metropolitan Division. We have a little battle all the way up and down, sort of like that NBA situation. We have Washington at 91. The Islanders are second at 89. Pittsburgh third at 87. Carolina at 85. Columbus at 84. Then we drop down to Philadelphia at 76. The Rangers at 69. And New Jersey at 63. So in the East for the playoff positioning, we have Tampa Bay, and remember that the top three teams in the divisions that make it in the top two wild cards. So Tampa Bay would now play Columbus. Montreal is 3 points out of the playoffs, and that heads will roll. Every year they don't make the playoff, heads roll in Montreal. They can't stand that. So yeah. If they don't make the playoffs, and it's starting to look like they may not, there'll be problems up in Montreal for the folks that are in the upper echelon. So Tampa Bay.
Yeah, your favorite coach may have some difficulty there, Chris.
Yeah, I'm surprised he actually came back this year, but because they didn't make it last year. But I know he did well for them before he got here.
I have a feeling the GM may be in more trouble than he is. So
yeah, well, maybe they both go. Yeah. Because one of my pet peeves is when you fire the GM, but you keep the coach. You know, what kind of a GM are you bringing in who can't pick his own coach? That's not
right.
A good idea.
Right.
Anyway, Tampa Bay would play Columbus right now, would host Columbus. The Bruins would host Toronto in what we all expect would be a really good series, as it was last year. And on the other side of the bracket, we'd have Washington hosting Carolina and the Islanders hosting Pittsburgh. In the Central Division, we have Winnipeg at 88, Nashville at 87, right behind them. St. Louis, 81, Dallas, 79, Minnesota, 76, Chicago, 73, and Colorado, 72. And in the Pacific, we have Calgary at 95, San Jose right behind them, Robert's team at 94. We have the Vegas Golden Knights at 83, Arizona 78, Edmonton 71, Vancouver 68, and Anaheim 67, and the Kings are at 58. And so in the West, we have Calgary would face Arizona right now, and San Jose would face Vegas. That's back to normal again. That's the way it had been except for last week. But San Jose would be facing the Vegas Golden Knights. Winnipeg would be facing Dallas, and Nashville and St. Louis. So looking at the playoff positioning, I'm trying to see who's where for getting in. Dallas is 79 and Minnesota at 76. And looking at the other division, Arizona 78. So Minnesota's right behind there. So they're still in the playoff picture. So and that's any comments on the West, Robert?
It's going to be quite interesting. The Sharks and Knights, they put on a hell of a series last year. So if it winds up that way, that would be okay. But I would much rather win the division. So I hope we can figure out a way to pass Calgary and stay past them.
Yeah, that's right. You got by them one time for a couple of days there, but
we only have one more game with them left, so we may have to depend on other teams to help us. But no, I like the way the playoff structure is going to look in both conferences. I don't think there'll be a boring series. I think the only blowout you may have is whoever Tampa Bay plays, because
right.
they are by far the best team in the league. And I don't normally say this, but if for them, it's Stanley Cup or their season was a failure.
When you have a year like this, and this is what everybody here remembers in 71, the Bruins, after winning in 70, had a great year and set all kinds of offensive records, you know, had a really good team all the way around, Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, everybody, and they got knocked off by Ken Dryden, the hot goalie. Now, that's the thing about hockey. You get a hot goalie, and Ken Dryden, where he's no slouch, he was a great goalie anyway, but he was just coming into the league, and nobody knew how good he was going to be, but he knocked him off, and at that season, that's after that summer was very depressing here. And people couldn't believe that had happened, and with the Canadiens of all teams, that is a big rival. So and then of course they came back and won it the next year. But yes, that's right. When you have as good a regular season as Tampa Bay has, and then the record setting, which it's going to be, if you don't win the Stanley Cup, that's right. So on today's scoreboard, we have Colorado over New Jersey 3-0. We had Buffalo beating St. Louis in the shootout 4-3. At 6 p.m., we had the Islanders starting at Minnesota. 7 p.m., Vancouver and Dallas. 7:30 was Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. 9 was Florida and Anaheim. And last game of the night, Edmonton at 10 o'clock, Edmonton and the Vegas Golden Knights. So
yep.
That's
the NHL. Chris, we don't have any Canadian callers, but we have someone from the KGN world, Pierre.
Okay.
All right. Oh, that's it. All right, that's it, Chris. How many seconds did you say I had last night?
You have, I think I said 20.
20. Okay.
Go for it. Okay. Go for it.
Cole Custer won the Xfinity race because Kyle Busch had a bad pit stop right at the end of the race. And today Kyle Busch won. And this time he had a bad speeding on pit road, was dropped back to 18th position and still won the race.
Okay, well, actually, it took about 30, Pierre, but actually it worked out because we were very efficient this evening, and we've even got time to do our weekly scandal report for a couple of minutes.
Well, first of all, hold on. Let's real quick.
Before we do that, though, Pierre, okay. How did LSU do this weekend in baseball?
Oh, okay.
They swept Kentucky.
That's good.
And let's get maybe you'll get in-depth stuff from Robert on the Ringside Reporter podcast, Robert.
That's true.
Give us a little detail. What championship was it? Who was fighting? Who won? And give us a little teaser to make people want to go listen to your podcast.
Well, you should be proud, Sean, because Dallas's own Earl Spence maintained his IBF welterweight title, and he's by far the best welterweight fighter in the division. And now he's earned a summer shot at the one and only Manny Pacquiao. It looks like that's who's going to be his next fight, probably either in late summer or early fall in Cowboy Stadium. They've already figured that out because Earl drew 48,000 people last night there at Jerry World, and Pacquiao's had two fights there, and he's drawn close to 60,000 both times he's been there. So it looks like Texas is going to have another grand party this fall or sometime. And I feel bad for Manny Pacquiao because I think he's going to get seriously hurt.
Okay, now, Chris, let's talk about the scandal now.
Yeah, well, Sean, yeah, go ahead, because you're the one that broke the story earlier this week.
Yeah, basically, you know about the scam. You've heard it all over the news about celebrities basically paying off coaches and academic coordinators and people to take tests for them. Aunt Becky from Full House, Lori Loughlin, you know, and then the lady from Desperate Housewives, paying $15,000 plus several coaches.
Felicity Huffman was her name.
Yeah, Felicity Huffman. And you had the tennis coach at Texas getting fired, the rowing coach at USC, and the sailing coach at UCLA. Stanford was involved, Yale, Georgetown. I mean, really, it's not a sports story per se, but these celebrities and these wealthy people were using some of the minor sports that don't get funded at a lot of schools as much. They were using that, hey, we'll get you some money, and getting their kid on, you know, in the school when they, I mean, especially if you look at Lori Loughlin's kids, if you see the YouTube, the one daughter talking about, oh, I want to party and go to Fiji, and basically she wasn't really, she could see why she couldn't get in, but they had, I mean, basically it was them using this to say, hey, get them under athletic scholarship. And yes, spots weren't necessarily taken away, but in these minor sports where you have somebody who's not going to go pro, in a lot, you know, they don't have pro rowing that you're a millionaire or whatever. It's taking a spot.
Well, the Loughlin kid, Sean, didn't even know the one that was for rowing, she didn't even know how to swim.
No, she didn't even know how to swim. The kid who was involved with that they bribed for the Texas tennis team had played tennis his freshman year in high school, and that was it. And of course, basically what it is taking a spot from someone that's actually working in their sport, and they're in a sport where they're going to work academically because they know that in that they're not going to have a career, and they're getting their college paid for. It's a gift. It's not like football, basketball, where they
Sean,
know.
You're down to about a little less than 2 minutes to get everything in.
Just a quick question on the scandal, though. This is not rising to the level of the athletic directors. They didn't know anything about it, right?
Not yet.
Like I said, it was coaches and it was coordinators and people taking tests. But yes, and like I said, it's more of a social. It's more of a social interest story, but there is a sports angle to it. I guess the easiest way. But hey, we want to first of all, it's good to have Ringside Robert back here.
Yeah, it was.
If If you want to tell anybody, if you ever miss an episode, if you want to go back, remember legendoldies.com to download it, or worldwide space legend in your podcatcher. That's another place. Or say, tell your little device to play Worldwide Legend Podcast and keep saying next until you get to Sports Lounge Live. Or 773-572-7715. When you're listening to it, if you can't listen to the whole thing, hang up, call back in from the same phone number. That does that. That is also where you can leave us a comment or question. Just hit the pound key, send it. Do not mark the message private so we can all hear it.